Now, to those hundreds of thousands of Albertans who are still not convinced or are unsatisfied with the pace of change and believe that separation is the answer, I want you to know that I empathize with you and I understand why you feel that way.
Danielle just kicked over a hornet's nest and tried to dress it up with a lot of pretty language about how much she values all of us and how much she hears us and blah, blah, blah.
Anyone can see the road that they want.
All right. There you go. That'll get you going this morning. Thanks so much for joining us, Evan Bray. Good to have you here Friday morning. Heading into the weekend. By the way, beautiful weekend, too. This is the weekend we wanted last weekend for the long weekend. Sun is here for the most part, so no apologies. Heading into this weekend, sunshine and warmth. And by the way, pat on the back and a hats off to the Habs fans this morning. Whether you're a diehard or a bandwagon jumper, doesn't matter. 6-2. How about that? Good start to the series. Carolina, that everyone was saying, is it going to be another series sweep? Well, no, it's not. The Habs proved that with a win on the road. Okay, yeah, we got lots to talk about today. Obviously, the address to Albertans last night by Premier Danielle Smith. We're going to start there. We'll bring in a proud Albertan for a chat in just a minute. It's been a busy week. We've covered a lot of different topics. So as we head into open lines today, which is a full hour for you, followed, by the way, with Bugs and Hugs. So we got lots of time to talk. Snowbirds, the sale of ISC, the cost of the World Cup. Even a topic, which I'll warn you right now, I'm not probably with the majority on this whole flotilla of activists who were captured by Israeli forces, 12 Canadians now in Turkey being sent back home. What did they think was going to happen? You're going over as an activist into a country that's at war and then shocked that you get captured and sent home. And yes, you had your hands zip tied. Okay, well, we'll talk about that. Open phones again at 9. We got Bugs and Hugs at 10. Belton Johnson pops by for It's Eaten Time. We're even going to talk a bit of fishing later in the show with Jason Matity. So let's get going. Here is today's Big Talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome. Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show. The Big Talker.
Well, this has been off and on a discussion that we've had on the program, and I've always appreciated not only your take on this, but bringing in different guests to talk about Alberta, the notion of separation. Many people feel Saskatchewan should be following suit. We've seen a couple of things happen this week. A premature press release that went out that infuriated some people. A couple of cabinet ministers in Alberta resign from the UCP party. And that all brought Danielle Smith to televisions last night. She did a paid address to the province last night on the notion of separation. Did it help or did it add fuel to the fire? Let's bring in someone who can talk about this because he talks about this a lot. Ryan Jesperson is a longtime Alberta media personality, an event host, a keynote speaker. He is the host of Real Talk, Ryan Jesperson. And I'm happy to say we've connected with Ryan this morning. Ryan, thanks so much for joining the program.
It's an honor to be on. Thanks for the invitation.
So I know you've talked about this. My gosh, it's monopolized your show over the last number of weeks. Does the announcement, does the statement last night by Danielle Smith let the air out at all between now and the fall?
Evan, that is a perfect first question because it doesn't do anything to let any air out and nobody's happy about it. That's the whole point, right? You've got the separatists behind this petition that they claim had about 300,000 signatures. That, of course, is surrounded in doubt now because of this data breach, this voter list data leak that was confirmed a couple of weeks ago. And now everybody's wondering who has access to Alberta's voter intel and how have those names potentially been used. Mm-hmm. Then you've got the Forever Canadian petition organized by former Deputy Premier Thomas Lukaszczyk. They got about, you know, just under 500,000 signatures, about 470,000. Here's the somewhat confusing part about that, though. Mr. Lukaszczyk, with his petition, was not necessarily asking for a referendum question. What he wanted was to put it through another avenue. That's this legislative process where basically it would have Alberta's MLAs vote on the issue. In other words, they'd have to have a coming out party if they were separatists or if they wanted to stay in Canada. And I think Lukaszczyk wanted it to go that way. That's what he's claiming. It should be noted, Evan, that not everybody that signed Lukaszczyk's Forever Canadian petition truly understood what they were signing up for, because we got a bunch of those folks now saying, oh no, we wanted the referendum. We're signing up for the referendum. And then you've got a group of Albertans that don't want the referendum at all, right, on separation, you know, for a million different reasons, right? A lot of them feel like it's serving as a very divisive exercise, which you could make a strong argument for. A lot of them are arguing economically that it's creating a lot of uncertainty at a time that Alberta's trying to get another pipeline built, at a time where we're experiencing a real population influx, and it's really sort of complicating matters there on marketing Alberta to the rest of Canada, the whole Alberta is calling campaign. So when the premier announced, you know, whatever it was, 13, 14 hours ago, that the government of Alberta was going to be the proponent of a question in this October 19th referendum, you know, should Alberta remain a province in Canada, or should the government of Alberta commence the legal process required under the Canadian Constitution to hold a binding provincial referendum on whether or not Alberta should separate from Canada?
Should we vote to vote?
Should we vote to vote? Yeah. Should we vote to spend more money on another vote? But essentially, this is, you know, I would say that this isn't unique in politics, but we almost are looking at a situation this morning where nobody's happy.
You talked a bit about some of the fracturing that's starting to happen. I mean, you guys had a couple of cabinet ministers this week step aside. So there's just so many pieces to this. You heard the Jeffrey Raths of the world saying this could be the end of Danielle Smith's career. She really did walk a political tightrope last night in that 14 and a half minute address. Do you feel, Ryan, that everyday Albertans, the majority of them, want to put the pen to paper to say, yes, I want to stay in Alberta? Is that the majority?
I mean, I don't know that the majority of Albertans want a referendum,
right?
But when the referendum question happens, I strongly believe that the majority of Albertans will vote to stay in Canada. And I do think that there's some value in having a vote, if we could be optimistic that could put this all to bed, right? That we could say, here's the scoreboard. Everybody had their say. And we went through the democratic process for all intents and purposes. And here's what the results are. But if Quebec is any example, I'm not sure that a referendum question on this is going to quell or satiate the separatists. And, I don't suspect that the movement would die or go away. What's interesting in all of this is the call from the official opposition and others for this to be kept out of a referendum entirely, and to put pressure on would-be separatists to form an official political party, to elect a leader, to run candidates in every Alberta riding, and to, you know, basically run on, to seek a mandate to separate, like the Parti Québécois has, like the Bloc Québécois has federally. And, whether or not that happens remains to be seen. There's no one real clear, credible leader driving this separation movement. So I don't know what that would look like, but I suspect strongly, based on polling and anecdotally, that the majority of Albertans, I'm going to say 70% plus, would vote to stay.
Longtime Alberta media personality Ryan Jesperson, host as well of Real Talk, Ryan Jesperson, joining us this morning. There's so many people that will say, Ryan, that going to a referendum vote, while it does give people the opportunity to give input to the government, if nothing comes from the vote, it can set people up to be more frustrated. So even if you take this separation question aside, look at things like an immigration question or a Senate composition question, if the vote happens, but the outcome of the vote doesn't equal what the reality is or the changes that are being asked to be made, does that set things up for more frustration?
Well, and here's the thing, too, is that of the 9 questions that have been confirmed, so now the 10 questions, right, with the premier's announcement last night, like you touched on, there's a whole bunch of questions on immigration, of course, and then the constitutional questions, right, where we're going to be asking about appointing judges. They're going to be asking questions about, abolishing the, as the government's describing it, the unelected federal Senate, opting out of programs on healthcare, education, social services. Like, a lot of this just simply isn't doable, right? Like, the provincial government doesn't have the power to unilaterally decide that it's going to be appointing its own provincial judges, judges appointed to the provincial King's Bench and appeal courts. The province of Alberta has no power, really, to work to abolish the unelected federal Senate. Now, it's asking, you know, the question on there, on that front, you know, do you support the government of Alberta working with the governments of other willing provinces?
Right.
I mean, number one, the entire referendum is an alienation process from the rest of Canada. So I don't understand how the government's going to seek a mandate to rally other provinces to work to abolish the Senate. I mean, this has been, you know, Stephen Harper's Triple E Senate, the firewall letter in Alberta, you know, 30 years ago. I mean, there's long been a sentiment, a strong sentiment that some of these things should happen. Preston Manning essentially, you know, built a Reform Party out of nothing into the, you know, into the official opposition on many of these same fronts. But I, you know, I think that the average person, obviously I don't speak for 5 million people, but I can say, Evan, there's a lot of people just rolling their eyes at this whole thing.
Ryan Jesperson is my guest. There's, you know, there's so many different pieces to this. Pierre Poilievre has been coming out quite strong, saying he supports the United Canada. He, of course, now an MP from Alberta, so he will be lobbying in the province of Alberta for how he thinks that referendum vote should go as well. Does this have political ramifications? If you look into your crystal ball, Ryan, does it have political ramifications for Danielle Smith come the next election?
Yeah, I mean, I would say so. Yeah, on the Poilievre front, let me point out, too, the, you know, his riding that he's representing, the one that Damien Kirk stepped aside, Battle River Crowfoot. Certainly, you know, I would hate to sort of try to prognosticate here or represent a riding where I don't live. But I would say that you would probably find a stronger separatist sentiment in that riding than you would in the average Alberta riding. So it puts Mr. Poilievre in a very interesting position, right? Yeah. Like, is his mandate or is his job in this case to represent his constituents in that riding, or is it his job to come across as prime ministerial and fight for Canada? And I think it's the latter. So that puts him in a really interesting position. I think either way, this is going to have implications for Danielle Smith politically. But what's been really interesting to see is throughout all of this, and keep in mind, the premier has worked, you know, on one hand, working for Canada, right? The MOU with Mark Carney, the announcement on the Friday before May long weekend, talk about a new pipeline approved within the next year. People are feeling bullish on that. And then at the same time, you know, lowering the threshold for signatures that you need in the province to trigger a referendum on separation, making it easier for the separatists. The government of Alberta a couple of weeks ago vowing to appeal a court decision that stopped the separatist petition in its tracks, which raised a lot of eyebrows. The premier doubling down on that last night, saying that, you know, the government of Alberta believes that the judge made an error. And, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, but she basically says that's not going to happen on our watch, which is why the GOA, the government of Alberta, is going to be putting this question in front of Albertans the third time in Canadian history. The other two times have been in Quebec. So that's kind of interesting. So there's all this. So she's being accused of being, you know, a separatist premier leading this separatist party, which you would think, if it does prove to be correct that the majority of Albertans want to stay and they perceive the current premier to be a separatist premier, that she could be in real political trouble. But polling right now for Danielle Smith doesn't look too bad. I mean, if anything, pollsters suggest that if Alberta was to hold an election this week, she'd win more seats. And I don't know if that's more of an indictment on the official opposition and Nahed Menchi than it is sort of praise of Danielle Smith. Her political security right now doesn't appear to be under threat, but I think that the further that this process goes, and I'd certainly be interested in seeing polling after her TV address last night, it's certainly on her radar, but I don't think that she would automatically lose. I wouldn't go near that far to say that.
Ryan, we've only got about 30 seconds left, so big question with the small amount of time, but what do you think this does between now and the referendum? Do you expect the messaging, the trajectory of anything to change significantly?
You know what I'm really concerned about, Evan, is that this whole exercise and the separation discussion in the province is reminding me of COVID, where a lot of friends and a lot of families found stakes driven into their relationships, and where the temperature was turned up high, and oftentimes, you know, conversations got really personal and searing, and in some cases permanently damaging. And that's something that's really on my radar and something I'm concerned about, is that between now and October 19th, I think that the province of Alberta is going to experience some real unrest as these two groups, the Leave Canada and the Pro Canada groups, campaign to have their interests represented in October. And that's something I got to be honest, my heart's in my throat a little bit over.
Ryan, we're going to stay close on this one. Thanks so much for the check-in today.
It's always great to talk to our friends in Saskatchewan. Thanks for the opportunity.
Ryan Jesperson, who he's talked about this a lot. If you ever caught his podcast, Real Talk Ryan Jesperson, he's a longtime Alberta media personality. So, you know, the conversation I wanted to have with Ryan is just like the conversations that are happening in coffee shops and leaning on the back of the pickup truck this morning, because this is a topic, whether it doesn't matter what side you're on, does not matter. This is a topic that's important to talk about. And I'm guessing it's going to drive us into open lines at 9 o'clock. We'll take a break. We'll come back, get set for a chat with you here on 650 CKOM 980 CJME.